So this morning is the start of a series on Kiddushei Kesef, a series that I expect will be 2 weeks or possibly three, depending on who knows. But the topic of Kiddushei Kesef is one I want to deal with from an Iyun perspective today, and then move on to a practical perspective after that. So today we're talking theory, and then after that some of the implementation issues, as in what is a pruta. And that has various pieces to it, so we'll get to that, God willing, in the next couple of weeks. So, as a general rule, first of all, when you're dealing with Kiddushin, you have three methods to execute Kiddushin. We know that from the opening Mishnah in Kiddushin. Take a look at source Aleph. Ha'ish ha'niknes b'shalosh drachim. Right, the possibility for this kinyan, I will not say a woman is acquired, because no, she is not acquired, and that's part of our discussion, but the kinyan that happens with three ways, v'konas atzma b'shtei drachim, in terms of her own ability to leave the marriage. Two ways for that to happen, but the part that we're in is entering the marriage, da'ilat zara b'shaita, niknes b'kesef b'shtar u'b'bia. So, kesef, shtar, as well as bia. Without defining shtar and bia right now, because that's not our interest in this year, we're talking kesef. So you have three means. That's actually not unusual. Meaning, we react to this and say, like, why are there three means? But the truth of the matter is that most transactions have multiple ways of doing them. So I buy something, right? We have discussions about whether money can buy something, but I can pick it up, I can lead it forward. There are all sorts of different actions you can perform in order to complete a transaction. So here, too, you have multiple ways to complete this the transaction. And in fact, we're going to see a little bit more in the Kuntra Seishirim about how this works, because there are multiple parts to Kiddushin as well. But first of all, the Gemara in source base asks a question about language. Ha'isha niknes, we said in the Mishnah. Ma'ishna hacha detani ha'isha niknes, ma'ishna hasa detani ish mekadesh. This Mishnah says the woman is niknes. We use the language of kinyan, of transaction. But on the other end, I have another Mishnah that says ha'ish mekadesh. The man is mekadesh. Why the distinction? Why are we using niknes here? So, mishum de kabay lemisni kesef. And the answer is because one of the methods of transaction is kesef, money. The kesef menalan, how do we know that money works for this transaction? Gamar kicha kicha misdei afron. Xeris hakasuv. I have the word kicha used regarding kiddushin, ki kachi shisha, as it goes on to say, and regarding the field that Avram buys from Ephron with Ma'aras HaMachpela, it says, nasati kesef asadeh kach mimeni. The word kicha is used in both places. From this we understand that the same way that the field of Ephron becomes Avram's field via the transfer of kesef, so too the kiddushin is executed via kesef. And kicha in general is called kinyan, as in the example of the field of Ephron, hasadah asher kana Avraham. And alternatively, we quote the pasuk of Yirmiyahu in Yirmiyahu paraglamid beis, before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, sados b'kesef yiknu, tell the Jews they will buy fields with silver. Tani ha'isha niknes. So therefore we use the language of kinyan. The Gemara then asks, well, that's really good. Then why do I have a Mishnah that says ish mekadesh? Then why don't you say ish kona? Meikara tani lishna de'oraisa. The answer is our Mishnah, which is presented first, uses biblical language, kinyan. Ulubasov tani lishna de'rabanan. And then we use the rabbinic language of Ha'ish Mekadesh. My Lishna Derabban, what do you mean when you say rabbinic language? The Aser La Kulei Alma Kehektish, that she is prohibited for the world like Hektish at this stage. The Kuntra Seishirim hastens to note that we're not saying that the marriage kinyan that bonds him to her is biblical, whereas her prohibition to the world is rabbinic. That's not true. They're both inherent in marriage. Take a look at the Kuntra Seishirim in source Gimel Rav Gusman. He says, "Vaday dehumi de'oraisa." Of course, this is de'oraisa. V'iker kiddushin is the essence of kiddushin. V'gam iker lashon kiddushin lachatchila. He says, don't think that this is some kind of a, you know, patched on type of a language. Rabbanan ragilu lanu ubiaru lanu al yedei lashon zeh sheyeshnu b'kiddushin inyan shel iser. All that we're trying to say here is that the rabbi's use of a language of kiddushin demonstrates the biblical aspect of marriage, that she is prohibited to the world. And he goes on to note that you can't have a marriage in which a woman is in fact not prohibited to the world. He gives you a case, right? The case in the Gemara in which Reuven says, I want to be Mekadesh her except for Shimon. And then Shimon comes along and he gives her money and he says, I want to be Mekadesh her except for Reuven. So the rule is the first Kiddushin worked, but she's Mekudeshet him and Asura to the entire world, and Shimon's Kiddushin is a joke. Shimon's Kiddushin is entirely ineffective. So what we have here is two different components in marriage. One is Kenyan, right? And the other is Iser to the world. Rav Guzman adds that we actually have a third element. Take a look at source Dalet. He says, Mavor deyeshnan gib bekiddushin gimel inyanim. We really have three parts. The first one is, as we said, kinyan, right? Aisha niknes, lisha del raisa. The second one is Iser, which we call lisha derabanan. And then the third one, he says, is hisyachdus leishus. The fact that she and he are mutter to each other for married life is also part of the kiddushin language. Yukumo shekas v'tosos, shezeu pasha demilsam, yuchedes li umzumenes li. Right? The idea of mikudeshes li, is designated to me, available to me, venira de mehai taima sova rava kiddushin shemisur in libi aloha kiddushin. That's its own discussion about kiddushin shemisur in libi, and that's not our topic for this year. But the point is that if kiddushin would in some way not permit relations with each other, then it wouldn't be kiddushin. That's the idea that the Kindrasei Shiurim gets across. And what he suggests, did I bring it here? Yeah, I did bring it here. What he suggests in Hay is that each one of the acts of Kenyan, so to speak, meaning Kesef, Shtar, Bia, actually corresponds to one of these three aspects of Kiddushin. He says, a Mestaber Lomar, he picks on the Yerushalmi, which I mentioned in our opening shir of the year. Remember, I talked about the Yerushalmi very briefly, but the Yerushalmi says, as a Havamin, I should say, it as a first view, that maybe the way marriage is executed is not one of these three, but you actually require all three. You can't have marriage unless you have all three of these, suggests the Yerushalmi. So he says, what does that mean? In Hay, Umistaber Lomar, the Kavanas Yerushalmi, the Ihava Amina Isha Niknes Bishloshtan Yachad. If I would have said that the woman had this Kenyan with all three together, Hainu, the Kavan, the Yeshna Bikidushin Shlosha Yanam Hanal, Boy Maisim Yuchara, Kol Inyan Beinyan, that you require a separate deed for these three aspects, each of these three aspects, Chilaka Kenyan Shabikidushin, Chayil Davka Yide Kesef. Then Kiddushin, part of I should say, the Kenyan aspect of Kiddushin would be effective because of the Kesef, Shizeo Kicha, the Greek Kenyan. The Chedekai is Yachtus Leishus, and as far as the designation for married life, Chayil Davka, Yidei Bia, that's via Bia, because that's Inyan Ishus. The Chedekai Iser, and the prohibition to the world, Chayil Davka, Yidei Shtar, that's via Shtar, the Shtar Kiddushin, or Yalef, Nivahayatzav Haisa, because we learn the effectiveness of Shtar from Get. Right? The shtar works to end the marriage, shtar works to begin the marriage. So therefore, the shtar is about isolation from the world. But he says, granted that that's true, that Kiddushin has these three parts, our conclusion is that all three take effect via any one of these deeds, kesef, shtar, or bia. He does add one note to this.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Ostensibly, yeah, he made a really good argument. He made too good an argument. We're convinced. All three are now requirements. He does add one note to this. Look at the Rambam's language. This is classic. The Rambam in Vav. He says, "V'likuchen elu mitzvah saseh shel Torah." He says, "This is a biblical mitzvah, right?" We talked about this. That was the introductory shir. But look what he says: "U'be'echad mishlosha divarim ha'isha niknes." He didn't use the word drachim, which is what we used originally. He used the word devarim. That, the Rambam knows his language, right? I mean, you're going to veer off, right? We dafka use the word derech. So what kind of a game is the Rambam playing? I ignored the beginning of Kiddushin. That's okay. I can just write the varim. The Gemara cared about the word drachim. So the idea that the Kuntres Hashiurim suggests is that these are not only three different ways of reaching marriage, drachim. Right, you could walk this derech, you could walk this derech, you could walk this derech, but also they are three independent creations with different halachic ramifications, which he then goes on to discuss. In other words, it matters which method you use. There actually can be differences. I'm going to note one, just not to abandon that entirely. But he suggests you could have a case where kinyan kesef is effective, and the other parts of the marriage are not binding yet. Look at this. Rambam and Hilchos Ishus, it's Perek Zayin, Lachat Zayin. It's really based on the Gemara Kiddushin, Samach Beis Amud Beis. I just brought you the Rambam for simplicity. Ha'omer lachavero, man says to a woman, man says to a man, im yolda ishtecha nekeva, harei mikudeshes li bazeh, gives him money, and he says, in the event that your wife gives birth to a baby girl, then she's mikudeshes to me with this. Lom or klum. So that doesn't mean anything. However, vim haisa eishes chaveru meuberes v'hukar ubra, if she was pregnant, and pregnant to the point where you can tell there actually is a fetus, the v'hukar uber harei zo mikudeshes, then in fact, the fetus is mikudeshes. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about kiddushei ketana. Yeah, so because she's pregnant already, and it's even over Ugra, it's not called Dabra Shalom Bala Olam, it's called Bala Olam. Look at the Gemara in the beginning of Beitza about Nolad, right? We don't say that. If it's there, it's called Bala Olam. But that's the Rambam's ruling based on the Gemara. The Kiddushin of the fetus is effective. The problem with it is not a Dabra Shalom Bala Olam problem. The problem with it is the Gemara in Yevamos, Yevazim Adbez, in Source Ches. I brought it for you on the sheet, but I'm going to say it outside for simplicity's sake. But basically, the Gemara says you can't have a case in which a mother-in-law is able to do miyun. Remember what miyun is? Miyun is the case in which a woman got married only midirabanan, right? A girl got married midirabanan. She was married off by her older brother. And she is able to simply walk away. She's mimayanis. She walks away until she reaches adulthood. No harm, no foul. That's it. I'm not married anymore. She's done. So the Gemara in Yevamos, which I brought you in Source Ches, says there's no such thing as your mother-in-law doing that, doing miyun. However, no, for herself. In other words, having a woman whose child is already married be able to do miyun personally. That can't be, says the Gemara. However, the Gemara also says that a minor can become pregnant. Well, follow the logic. If a minor is able to become pregnant, and you are telling me that one could be mekadesh the fetus, that minor could be in a position of having, it's a crazy case, but the minor could be in a position of having been married off by her older brother and being able to do miyun, even as her daughter in utero is already married. So how can the Rambam tell me? It's really a Gemara. The Rambam's on the hook for what the Gemara said. How could you tell me that she is able to have Kiddushin? So that's not Rav Gusman's question, that's Rav Chaim's question. Yeah?
So you need Midasa?
For what?
Mikne.
So the answer is no. Right? It's being done on her behalf.
That's
of the father, or in this case, the older brother, in the case of the... Right, here it's the father. Right, no, because it's... I mean, your family in this story are the following, okay? Let's say you have Lemech is the father, okay? Ada is Lemech's wife. Ada was married off to Lemech by her older brother. Ada's father had passed away. Ada was married off to Lemech by her older brother. Ada now is pregnant, right, with Tubal Kayin or whoever. Actually, it can't be Tubal, it's going to be Nama, right, because it's a girl. And the idea is, Noach approaches Lemech and says to him, I want to marry the girl who Ada is carrying inside of her. And what we're saying is, on the one hand, Lemech and and Nama are now actually betrothed. She is Mekudeshes because it's a Noach. Thank you. Noach and Nama are now in fact betrothed to each other because Mekudeshes. However, because Ada only was married off to Lemech as a minor, and she has not yet reached adulthood, and she was married off by her older brother, she can do Mi'un. But you told me mothers-in-law are not able to do Mi'un. So how does that work? Sir Chaim asks this question, and look at his answer in Source Tes. Bashir Nira Lomer Bedasa Ramba. You'll see why all this is relevant in a minute, except for you, because you were the opening part, a piece of it. But then we'll get back into the regular discussion. Bashir Nira Lomer Bedasa Ramba. De Be'emes, Kol Shehukar Ubra HaKidushin Tovsin Beho Uber Umiskadeshes Miyad. He says it's true, as the Gemara says, as the Rambam rules, that if the woman is already pregnant and the child is already recognizable, meaning that you can see she's pregnant a few months in, then the rule is Kidushin, in fact, will be binding, and she's Miskadesh. And of course, that kiddushin continues when the kid is actually born. It doesn't stop. However, the status of the fetus is split because the fetus is not yet a woman. The fetus is a fetus. He says the only part of marriage that has actually taken effect for this fetus is the kinyan. The other pieces, meaning heter ishus, right, permission for married life, which comes from bia, right, or associated with bia, and iser to the rest of the world, that only begins once she emerges from the womb. So you have an in-between status right now, in which one of the three components of marriage has taken effect, the kinyan part has taken effect because of kesef, and the other two parts are still in the offing. It's a fascinating idea. It's just one example of where you can actually make one of these distinctions between the different parts. This is not going to be relevant in any way, shape, or form. What happens if a second man gives kiddushin? The kinyan part will prevent that from happening. There's no, yeah. See, you're not going to have an actual case. Yeah.
What about our times where we can see what the sex of the fetus is?
Right.
Does that change the game here?
Why would
Probably
it?
Probably not before.
One second. One second. Why?
But
it doesn't matter. Why would
they
it?
We know that it's a she.
So, and therefore what? That doesn't convey Ishus or Iser to the rest of the world now. Those are waiting for birth. I must admit being curious as to why those wait for birth. But that's what Reb Chaim simply states. I have to admit I didn't go through the entire
but
piece in Reb Chaim.
I mean, if it's a boy, then there is none. So we only know that the kinyan took place once we know that
Well, that's true. That's our knowledge.
Yeah,
that's true. But what I'm saying is that I don't think it's a lack of clarity about the gender that's going to make the other two parts be binding.
No,
that's not what it's waiting on.
Okay.
It's not Davar Shel Baliolam. No, you missed that. It's because it's a Garubra, it's considered Baliolam.
But the Sarum Kutti, as you explained before, that it's a not mixture of
Right, so maybe, but I'm not clear on that because. And that'll take us into the discussion about what counts as Namasir and the Bia Kiddushin of Anita and so forth. Like, we've got to have discussions about that.
So I think we have learned all this out. If we use the word Drachim instead of Dvarim, I don't see how that's the whole
So the idea of Drachim versus Dvarim is the, and this is Rav Gustman's idea, is that the calling them Drachim means there are three paths to reach the same place. Calling them Dvarim suggests that they're three independent creations. They're three independent things, and they have different halachic ramifications.
I can see that using the word brachim, but okay, maybe I just don't see it at all.
That's his, right, I mean, but that's his ha'ara. Okay, so that's the bottom line out of this first part of the shir, is that kinyan kesef corresponds to the financial aspects of the marriage, but it creates a full marriage. It affects all three of these different places. Was this where you had wanted to say something? Or?
No. It turned out that the Kuntres Yerman Hay had said what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
On Dalit.
Okay. So now, the next piece. Is Kiddushei Kesef a purchase Or is it something else? As I wrote on your sheets, is it Mechira B'Shovi or the Maaseh Simli? And this is really what's going to be the bulk of the shiur today. Are you purchasing for value? Not to say that the marriage is worth a pruta, but that your pruta is a payment towards whatever it is that the marriage is worth? Or is this a formal ritual act that creates the transaction? Right? To go back to what we were talking about before Shear started, same idea with the oil question. Yes, Jerry.
The rabbis knew the word oil, right?
Or it's in Tanakh. Oh, you mean oil.
It's also in Tanakh.
The word oil. Yes.
Sorry, in what case? They often used vavs as ors, and they find that in Tanakh also. It was a classic usage in Hebrew.
But where it might not be clear.
I understand, but they apparently considered it clear enough. It's the reader who's confused. Okay. So, in general, we have a concept with kinyanim of actions which are not payments, but rather are formal acts that will effectively either create or demonstrate gemiras das. Right, that you agree to go forward with the transaction. Take a look at stories. You had a little piece here from Chazon Ish on Choshen Mishpat. He says, "Klav gadol yelcha b'kinyanim." Here's a rule for kinyanim. The igar hakinyan u'sheyigmor b'libo lahaknos hadavar lachavero, v'chavero yismoch daito alav. The essence of kinyan is that you decide to assign whatever it is to somebody else, and the other person decides that he's taking it. There are some things for which the Chachamim said, just by speaking, you have already decided that you're going ahead with it. And there are others which require that you perform a particular act that is specified by the Torah, by the Chachamim. It's all in it. So the question is, what is Kiddushei Kesef? What exactly is that? Now, you could look at this as an entirely philosophical question. In other words, it works. Who cares whether it's payment or whether it's a formal ritual act? However, it is possible to argue. I read one article by a fellow named Avner Cohn called Kiddushei Kesef, where he wanted to make this claim that you may require das. You might have to know what type of transaction you're engaged in. Is this in fact a formal act? In other words, if I think I'm giving her this as a down payment, but in fact it's a formal act, maybe that actually affects things. I don't think he's right. He hesitated as well. Another possible nafkamina, though, would be from the Sri Deish regarding use of kinyan chalipin. So kinyan chalipin, in a nutshell, is like it sounds, right? Chet lamed pei. It's a substitute. What if instead of marrying her by giving her money, right, I'm going to instead pick up an item, right, and say this item is my act of chalipin, my picking up this item demonstrates that we are now doing this kinyan for kiddushin. Instead of giving her instead of giving her a pruta, sorry, heads elsewhere. Take a look at Surah Yud Aleph. The Sweet Age says, because he believes that in fact what we are talking about here, what we're dealing with here is a formal transaction and not a payment. He says, "Mitam ze ein isha niknes b'chalipin, she'ena isha chefetz shemischalef b'davar acher." He says, she is the one who is undergoing this transaction. So she's not an item that you can just exchange for something else that represents her. Ha'ishus hu inyan shal isru kedusha. Marriage is about also prohibiting her to the world and so forth. Va'kesef hu semel shal kinyan le'ishus. The money is a formal sign of the kinyan. Abachalipin domalumasa umata. Chiluf davar b'davar. Chalipin is a different story. It's an exchange of an item for another. I realize that my description was actually kinyan suther. Sorry, my head is... Again, I need to get my head back into this.
There are two types of chalipin.
Right.
But the two types of kiddushin. The same way there's mechira b'shavoy or ma'aseh simli, there's also
right
chalipin, which is mechira b'shavoy or
right
chalipin b'shavoy.
That's really the whole discussion of that Avnei Miluman.
Right. Which is which we're coming back to.
All these issues and enough communities couldn't don't they apply to shtar as well, not just the kesef?
So shtar is valid because the Torah says it's valid. Meaning we don't have the ability to undermine it on logical grounds because Viyatza V'Haisa teaches me that shtar works. So whatever argument somebody's going to come up with is like an argument to say that Chazer is kosher.
No, but
it's a fine intellectual argument, but still not kosher. Correct. And even this is not enough. Even this is not a true nafkamina.
Says the only case of shtar is where the shtar is not worth a shel pruta. Right?
The only, say that again.
The case where shtar is a kinyan shtar is where the shtar itself does not worth a shel pruta.
Right. Right, because otherwise you'll say what I gave was a pruta's worth, and therefore it worked as kesef. That's true. Just one second. It's also not a true nafkamina because if you look at the Rashban Gimel Amud Beis and the Kovet Shiurim Kedushin Yud Aleph, there are other reasons to reject chalipin, even if you say that what you're doing is not a formal act, is actually kesef. Yeah.
By yibum, you can use chalipin, right?
By yibum, you can use
nala, whatever.
The Was that the purpose of Shalav Hishnalo? I thought that was about the estate. I didn't think that was a Yibum transaction. I thought that was about the estate.
Oh, I thought it was Yibum. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. This I know you mean.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but that's what I thought.
Is this topic Kinyan Karka Bekesev? Or is Kinyan Karka Bekesev and Kedusha Kesev? It's the same question, in other words, really false.
So we're going to get to both. We're dealing with both. Okay.
What I'm saying is, why is Kedusha Kesev different than any other Kinyan?
Well, we're going to, we'll see.
We know Kesev works with Torah Kesev, but it says Zero Shabbat, right? So why do you say Shtar is better because of Ayas Mahaisa?
No, because our question is not whether Kesef works. Our question is how Kesef works.
Right.
How is Kesef working? Is it working as a payment towards the value of this transaction? Or is Kesef working as a formal ritual act? When you present this, now she is wedded to you, having nothing to do with any value.
It's not just karka, it's even metalklum, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we have to talk about Shmei Kesef. We'll get there.
No, it's not because the Torah says Shtar works. Shtar works in a different manner than Kesef.
Right.
So is that why you don't have the difference, whether it's the actual value or the symbol or just not?
No, Shtar is a different mode altogether.
Yeah.
It has its own rules and so on. Rabbi Yaris is pointing out that hypothetically it could actually play the Kesef role in terms of the value of the paper it's written on. Okay, so what I want to start with in terms of analyzing this question of what exactly is going on when you give the kesef is to look at kinyan karka, because the two kinyanim are associated. The Gemara, if you take a look at source Yud Beis, the kesef menalan. How do you know that kesef works for kiddushin? Gives me two different methods of arriving at that conclusion. The one on gimel amud beis, one on dalet amud beis. So the one on gimel amud beis. Amar v'yudam arav de amar kra. The Torah says, I added in the words in brackets, the amal ha'ivriya, talking about the ability of the amal ha'ivriya, the girl who became a shifcha for a period of time and now is leaving, v'yatz achinam ein kasef. When she leaves, there is no money, meaning there's no money paid to the person who had been her master. When she ages out, that's it. There's no payment. She simply goes free. So, ein kesef la'adon zeh, aval yesh kesef la'adon acher. Why did you need to tell me he doesn't get any money? Of course he doesn't get any money. No, the answer is because there's another case in which she, in fact, is under somebody else's financial domain, and that ends with a presentation of money. Umaniu, who is that? That's the av, that's the father. Meaning a father has financial responsibility for his minor daughter, and therefore he has certain rights. And when she gets married, and he cedes those rights, he receives something. He receives the kesef kiddushin. So that shows me that kesef works. Well, why doesn't the money go to her? To which the answer is, well, a father accepts the kiddushin, so why would the money go to her? And so forth. The Gemara then, on Dalet Amud Beis, gives me a different source, and that's the one that's germane right now. V'tana maisi lamehacha, disanya, ki kach ish isha uv'ala, v'ayam lo sim sochim beinam, ki matzaba, right, the other end of marriage, or not the other end of marriage, it is at the time of the marriage, but the point is the word ki yikach in any case, ein kicha ela bekesef, kicha is with money, v'cheinu omer, nasati kesef asodeh, kach mimeni, the field of Ephron. So that gives us a connection between acquiring land and the marriage transaction. Eran Kahan, in his Psicha L'Maseches Kiddushin, which I quoted in the introductory shiur, brings many other sources which I did not bring on the sheet, most of them I did not bring on the sheet, which connect the marriage relationship with the land relationship. I brought you one, the Gemara in Yevama Samach Gimel Amad Aleph, and in Source Yud Gimel, where Rabbi Elazar talks about the man who doesn't have an Isha and what this is like, and then he says, Kolam Shein Lo Karka, the man who doesn't have any land, and what this is like. The man who gets married also may not have any land as a result. There's another Gemara in Yevamos as well, where the Gemara praises people who remarry and continue to try to have children, and it quotes you a pasuk in Koheles. So we quote the latter part, right? In the evening, don't stop, you should continue, right? But the first part of the pasuk is zra zaracha, to plant, right? So there's another planting and marriage image. He points out as well, what's the term in the Gemara for an irrigated field? Stay bal. They stay bal, and the rain, what we call the rains in the Gemara in Tanis, Revia, which is a term also for relations. He points out the Gemara in the beginning of Sota, the famous Bashert Gemara, right, that talks about Bas Ploni Leploni, right, being decreed. It also says Sada Ploni Leploni, as well as Bayis Ploni Leploni. Go figure. And he likes to note, although this I think is less germane, that there are three different types of kinyan for each of them. Right, you have kesef shtar bia for marriage, and for a field, it's kesef shtar chazaka. So you have three kinds there. And this connection between the two. Sorry.
Bias. Well, Jewish people commentaries as well. It's called bias.
Right, bias haaretz. Right. There's a lot you could really do with this. And he does. It makes particular sense to connect them regarding kesef. First of all, because you have your kicha link, but also he notes the pasuk we referred to earlier, sados b'kesef yiknu, is Yirmiyahu, the last pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis. The next parak includes all this nice language about marriage and us coming back to the land and marriage. It's if you look in Perek Lamed Gimel, Psukim Yud Yud Aleph in particular, the two go together. Okay, so we have a link of some kind, in some ways more allegorical, in some ways more legal, between Kenyan Karka and Kenyan Kiddushin. So we look at Kenyan Karka and ask ourselves, the rule is you give a bruta. That may work, depending on circumstances we're going to see, to affect kinyan on land. Is that payment, or is that symbolic, like what the Chazon Ish was talking about before? So there are two basic positions. This is a classic idea. This is not my innovation. This is a very old idea. And it is the Sma versus the Taz. The Sma, Sefer Meir HaSeinayim, also the author of the Prisha and the Drisha, makes the argument that it is a purchase via payment. That's the way it works. When you give money for land, you're buying it. You've given money, you've given its value, or some portion thereof. The Taz disagrees and says, no, it's a formal act. It is external, it is ritual. One piece of evidence that can be read either way is the purchase of Ephron's field, using that as the paradigm for Kenyan Kesef regarding Karka. The Sma, I brought you on, well, first of all, Yudalit, because that's what the Sma is commenting on. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshen Mishpat Kuf Nun Siv Beis. Ba'kesef Ketza, this is talking about a land purchase. So how do you do with money? Machar lo bayis o sadeh, v'nasan lo kesef shava pruta. Somebody sells a house, sells a field, and the guy gives him a pruta's worth of money. Kana, that works. And therefore, neither one is able to back out. You already started on the transaction. And even if he gives him the money on condition that he return it later, when presumably there will still be full payment in the offing, but right now I'm giving you this money, later on I'm going to give you the full purchase price and I'd like my dollar back, kana, that works. The Sma in Tezvav says the following. Ein lomar delo ayri kan. I love double negatives. Ein lomar delo ayri kan bekesef shenose bishvil shivoy hamekach. Don't say that this is not a payment for the value of the purchase. Meaning, this is payment of value for the purchase. This is part of what you should not say. Don't say that it's just that you bind yourself to this transaction with the formal act of handing a coin to the other guy. Along the lines of shtar chazaka and kinyan suder, which are all external acts where you didn't give something of value, it ain't so. Because we learned the validity of Kenyan Kesef from Ephron's field, the Kesef Hanizgar Bistei Ephron, you paid 400 shekel Kesef, you paid for the value of the field. That wasn't symbolic, that was cash. So therefore, the Sma says, a Kenyan Kesef on land is money for the actual field, you are giving value. The Taz says no. And he says, I'll prove it to you from Ephron. Because what else do we connect Ephron with? Kiddushin. And he says, in Kiddushin, you're not giving the value. Take a look at the Taz in source Tes Zion. Mashakasav Smas, Hivkat and Aleph, the Koshal, Nasim, Batar, Shivui, Mekach, Eno, Kone. The Sma says, you have to give it as payment for its value. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I don't know what you're talking about. We learn kiddushay kesef from Ephron. Come on, these are British kiddushin. V'zeh pashut de beisha kona osa derech nesin alachud v'lo b'taras shivui mashi shava. You're not giving what she is worth. You're making a formal transaction, which is cemented by handing over a coin. But it's not that you're paying for value. So both of them take the link to Ephron in different directions. Either as Avram gave cash money for the field, or it's we connect Ephron to Kiddushin. Kiddushin can't possibly be paying value, which you're going to see not everybody agrees with, but that's the position of the Taz. So that you can read it either way.
What about all the other psukim that the Gemara and Kiddushin brought down? All of them are in consideration of full value?
Not a full value, I didn't say that. Oh, a value.
A value.
Yeah.
So according to the Sma, that makes it sound more that you are acquiring the woman.
It sounds a lot more like an acquisition when you say it's via payment, but we're going to come back to that and modify that. No one is going to come out of this year with the idea that she's being bought. Though, don't kid yourself.
Being bought now, okay.
Okay. The piece of evidence number two that is used is that line in the Shulchan Aruch that we read in Source Yudalid, which says, you sell a house, you sell a field, you give kesef shava pruta, and that works. So if you're the Taz, right, and you take the view that this is a formal act, I understand why a pruta works, to buy the land, even if the land is worth much more than a pruta, it doesn't make a difference. That was their demonstration of seriousness. Right? That's all they're doing. The Sma, though, has said that you're making a purchase with actual value. How did that work? You only gave a pruta. So the Sma offers you three options in Source Yedzayim. V'ayri davka, he gives you one of three davkas. Either bishanasan lo hashava pruta al tmei apeira on vashar zakaf ala b'milva. You convert the rest of it into a loan. It's a mortgage, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be a mortgage, but it can. No, not like mechiras chametz, because in the case of mechiras chametz, you specify and you stipulate that even if the rest of the payment is not paid, the transaction is still binding and valid. You don't want to do that. Otherwise, you get into trouble. But what the Sma says here is, you said, this land is worth $1 million, here's a pruta, and the rest of the $1 million minus a pruta, I owe you. That's one possibility. The money for the payment. Peiraon is either payment or collection, depending on which side of the transaction you're on.
Yes.
As a deposit.
Yeah.
If it's a deposit.
You don't. No, no, no. A vendor take back. Yes. But a deposit, that doesn't mean you have the rights.
Okay. So the lawyers and the financial professionals are going to debate later the terminology that we're using. The second option that the Sma offers is what we call lo ayel benafek azuze. Lo ayel benafek azuze means that the seller is not coming around demanding the money. Ayel to go in, nafak to go out. He's not coming and going looking for the money. If you're a halacha later in this siman, which we're going to get to a little bit of it anyway in Chavalah, God willing. But the idea is that the reason why my pruta works, even without formally saying $1 million minus a pruta is now owed to you as a debt, is the fact that the seller didn't come say, you know, where's the rest of my money? So that shows a certain seriousness in this, even though we didn't receive the full value. Or third, if it's a pruta's worth of land. We're going to see, God willing, again, I said, we're going to get around to the question of what a pruta is worth. I don't know how you have a pruta's worth of land, but that's his third possibility for how this transaction might work. Maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. Okay. But either way, again, both sides look at this line of Shulchan Aruch and say, that suits me just fine. The third one really only works for the Taz. There's a drisha in which the Sma, I think, may be defending himself. But it's basically brought for the Taz. And that's the case of Irvoni Yikon. Take a look, please, at source Yud Ches, Bav Mitziyam Ches Amid Beis. Hanosein Eravon L'chaveiro. You give a collateral to somebody else. V'amro, you say to him, Im ani chozer bi, if I back out on the loan, right, or whatever it is that this Eravon, this collateral is for, if I back out on the deal that we said we were going to do, for which I'm giving you this pledge, Ervoni Machulach, I forgive my Eravon to you. Okay, so I'm gonna be engaged in a purchase, and I say, here is my watch, and if I back out, you get to keep the watch. V'halo, Marlo, and the other guy says to him, "Im ani achzor bi, if I back out, echbolach ervonach, I will double your item." In other words, both of them are on the hook for the value of the item that was pledged. Right, the item was worth $1,000. So if I back out, then I forfeit $1,000, and if you back out, you're going to add $1,000. That's the idea.
The item's worth $1,000.
That's what I just invented. It's my watch. I can value it over a like.
The collateral's worth $1,000. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, not the purchase item. The item meaning the collateral item. Yeah. Correct. I don't actually wear a watch, so this is not so relevant. But the Gemara then says, what happens if they make a deal like this? So Niskaimu Hatnoim Diva Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that's binding. Rabbi Yosli Tamei Damar Asmachta Kanya. He says Asmachta works, meaning this is an Asmachta. Neither side expects to back out, and therefore neither side expects that they're going to actually have to lose the full value of this collateral. It's an Asmachta, and Rabbi Yosli says, I'm good with that. I believe Asmachta is binding, and therefore, if you back out, you're in fact stuck with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayo Sheyikne Keneged Ervono. Rabbi Yehuda says, what happens when you give the collateral is that you purchase the value of the collateral out of the item that you are going to buy. In other words, it's not a loan case, it's a purchase case. So you are actually, let's say, I told Tommy that I was going to buy his field. His field is worth $500,000. I gave him a collateral worth $1,000. I now own $1,000 out of his field. And in the event that I back out or he backs out, I walk away with $1,000 of the field. He walks away with my collateral. Amar Mishum Begamliel, Bamed Devar Mamur. Mishum Begamliel says, when is this true? When is this true? So part of our question is, what do you mean by this? But when is this true? Bismana Shamar Lo Ervoni Yikon. If he says, my pledge, my collateral will acquire, that's when this is true. Look at Rashi now. I'm skipping the rest of the line. It doesn't matter for our purposes. Source Yates. Rashi says, Bamed Var Mamurim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, when is it true? She'eno Kone Ela Keneged Ervono. Rabbi Yehuda's position that the $1,000 collateral buys $1,000 out of the field. When is that true? If Torchiner, when he gives the collateral, says, Ervoni Yikon, meaning Yikne. If I say, my collateral will buy, Shelo Nisana Lo B'Torah Chilas Peraon. I didn't give it to him, as I bolded here, as the start of the payment, Vashar Lov Milva, and the rest of it is a debt. Ela B'Torah She'eravon Ze Yikne Es Hakol. What I said was, my collateral actually acquires for me the whole field. All $500,000 of it. V'halav milzei, which is nonsense, because I only gave you $1,000. Why should I acquire $500,000 by giving you $1,000? Life doesn't work that way. So I intended to purchase the whole thing. that's not valid, but I did get the value of my collateral. That's the way Rashi explains what's going on. Tosfos says, I don't understand. He says in source Chav, "Upirish Rashi, Avoni Yikon Shamashi Yikna Lo Avono Kineged Kolameka." He agrees with Rashi that it's about Rabbi Yehuda's position that you only acquire the value of the collateral. That's not the debate. But he says he says Tema Daha Adif Minasan Lo Bataras Priya Dekana Akol Kamen Shapirish Beedish Yikna Akol. He did more than just give him $1,000 item. He actually stated, "I'm giving it to you on these terms." So he comes back with a whole other way to read the meaning of the words Hevoni Yikon, which I brought you on the sheet. It may be of interest if you want to take a look at it later. It's Tosfos. Of course it's of interest. But he has a whole other read of Hevoni Yikon. But look at the Rama in Chaf Aleph. This is that Rama we referenced earlier when we said, Nisbar B'Sim Ezeb B'Sif Yud, that's the Sif. He says, Lo Nasan Lo Ela Be'eravon Ba'alma. If he only gave it him as collateral, even if Tommy is not coming back and forth saying, "Hey, where's the rest of my money?" Lo kana rak neged ma'osav. Still, it only works to purchase $1,000 worth. Ella impire sheyikne neged hakol. Unless I said I mean for it to acquire the whole thing. If I said I mean to acquire the whole thing, then I acquire the whole thing with this $1,000. That's the statement. Is that Rashi or Tosfos? Say Tosfos. Good. That's Tosfos. That's not Rashi. Rashi said, if I say I'm acquiring the whole thing, I only acquired $1,000 worth. Tosfos says, it's not true. You said you're acquiring the whole thing with it. That's your intent. You may owe the rest of the money, but you acquired the whole thing. That's the way Tosfos reads it. That's the way the Rama reads it. So, but how does it work? I didn't give him $500,000. So that's exactly the point. The Taz looks at it and says, take a look at Source Chav Beis. This is the part that I skipped in Source Tezayin that I elided in the Taz there because we weren't ready for it yet. But now you can read the whole Taz. Mashakasa sma sivkan alav the koshal dasim b'tera shibu megafen okona lo evanti dvarav. Da kasav Rama siv yud. Because he says that you acquire the whole thing when you say Erboni Yikon. The Rama sided with Tosfos to say that, even though what I gave was only worth $1,000, if I make the statement I'm acquiring the whole field, then I acquire the whole thing. How does that work? Not as a down payment. It works as a formal ritual act. As far as he is concerned, you acquire karka by giving kesef, not because you are giving the value of the land, but because this is a formal ritual act and everybody involved knows the terms. You are now transferring the land. All other issues will have to be settled. Money will have to be transferred. But that's not what's going on right now. So again, there's a drisha on this that may include the smaz way to look at it, but I got very confused and stopped.
So when you explain Rabbi Yehuda like that, how does it end up being different than Rabbi Yossi then?
How does Rabbi Yehuda end up being different from Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yehuda is not saying you're bound by these conditions about backing out and all of that. Those conditions, they'll say, are asmachta. They're not true. In other words, if a seller backs out, he doesn't have to double your deposit. Those conditions are not binding.
Well, that sounds then like a deposit then, because if you put a deposit on money, on a purchase, everyone knows the term, you still have to pay and do your inspections and whatever, those are the terms, but if you put a deposit, you're entitled to
that. But we're saying it's not a deposit. A deposit doesn't mean I now have acquired the whole thing. A deposit is just demonstration that I'm serious about what I'm doing, that I plan to go forward.
Use the VTB theory. It's much better.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, what does VTB stand for?
Take back.
Okay.
More.
Got it.
So that you have given the whole thing, part of it's paper, but you...
Right.
But there's a transition of both.
Got it. Okay. Vendor take back. VTB. Okay. So,
right now
applying this now.
Right.
Applying this now to Kinyan Kiddushin. Let's go from Kinyan Karka to Kinyan Kiddushin. We have a machlokas regarding Karka. Are you giving the value of the land, or is it a formal thing? Sma said it's a purchase via payment. Taz said it's a formal act. So the Avne Miluim is on the Sma's side. He wants, when you deal with Kiddushin, he wants it to actually be payment, and he argues it from Rishonim. He's not just making it up. Take a look, please, at source number Chav Gimel, which starts on one side and then continues on the next side. I was going to bring you the individual sources he quotes, but he really does a nice job of quoting them, so I figured why would I do that? Well, the Fiyani is Daiti Nir and Divrei Hasma. It's the value of the transaction, and I brought you two of his proofs. First of all, Rashi in Bukharas Yigimel Amud Aleph. In the Bukharas Yigimel Amud, it's actually not Aleph, that's a typo in the Avnei Miluim, it should be Amud Beis. But Rabbi Yochanan makes the famous statement, Dvar Torah Maos Konos, right? We know that when it comes to acquiring movable items, if you give cash, it doesn't work. I go to the grocery store and I go up to the counter, forget the issue of taking it off the shelf. I go to a store where they take it off the shelf for you. So I give them money and say, here is $5, I want to buy this, this, and this. And they're all set to give it to me and for me to take home. And then I say, you know what, I changed my mind. It's not a nice thing to do, but the money did not acquire the items. The items drop and smash on the floor, it's not my problem. The money didn't acquire it. The question is that d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? One way to look at it is that even mid'oraisa, the money doesn't acquire it. But Rabbi Yochanan says no. He says, mid'oraisa maos konos. Biblically, you give the money, you acquire the items. However, the Chachamim were worried because you often have cases where items are held for delivery. Such as, I go to the farmer and I want to buy grain from him. I don't have a place to store grain for the entire year. So I say to him, here's money. I now own a year's worth of grain that's sitting in your silo. And I'll take delivery as I need it. And he says, great. And then, God forbid, one day a fire breaks out, and he says, I don't have to do anything about it. It's not my grain. It is. It's not my migraine. So if he makes that statement, he can get away with it. So therefore they said, no, midrabanan, cash isn't king. Money does not acquire the grain.
Yeah, it's the same as
any showing
that
right. This isn't Arabic. No, this is fire broke out. I wasn't careless.
This is Murphy's cow.
We didn't start the fire.
Obligation to try and to limit the amount of the fire.
This is an entirely tangential point. The point is, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Midoraisa maos konos." So what he says is. What he says is, Rashi comments on that. The Yalev midichsiv in Asana Kesef Vikamlo. Rashi says, how do you know Dvar Torah Maos Konos? Because the Pasuk says, Vinasana Kesef Vikamlo. That's not about Meister Sheni. It's about redeeming Meister Sheni. The Yalev Hed Yomei Hekdesh. And we learn from redemption of Meister Sheni with cash to teach that you can buy movables with cash as well. Vasem b'Meister Sheni Kesef Chilulu Mishivu Yameister. And he says, look, that Kesef, that Kenyan Kesef you're talking about, of Meister Sheni, is where you give the value of the Meister Sheni. The truth is, Bizman Hazeh, it's not. Right? Bizman Hazeh, we machal a lot of pruta and all that. Nonetheless, the core idea of redeeming Meister Sheni is that you give its value. So he says, Kenyan Kesef is presentation of value, as seen in the Meister Sheni case. That's one source he brings. Second is the Shita Mekubetzes. He says, "V'chein l'fi mashkasim shid mekubetzes perak azav," and this really is Mem Zayin Mubeis. Time of the Rabbi Yochanan mishum derov kinyanim bekesef. He says Rabbi Yochanan believes Maos Konos because most transactions in general are done via money. Ki dechsev ochav bekesef tashbireni. Right, what we said to Edom, right, or Sichon, or one of those, the kesef shivui, and there it's talking about value. In Cain, who then kesef the karka, who kesef shivui, the same thing for others. And he goes on; he has many more examples, which lead him to believe that a Kenyan kesef means its value. That still does not mean. Please don't get confused. The Avnei Miluim is not saying that the pruta is her value. Nor is he saying that what you give at any stage is her value. Rather, what the Avnei Miluim is saying is, this is the price she is willing to accept for entering into this relationship. Meaning, we do this all the time. We accept payment for our time, right? Whatever it is, anyone who's in the service industry, right? It's not what your time is worth. There's no such thing. It's the amount of money you are willing to accept in exchange for which you are going to do whatever it is that the service is. That's what the Avnei Miluim is saying is going on in Kiddushin. The money is the value of the relationship that she is willing, such a, that she's willing to accept it. Whereas Rav Yisr Zalman Meltzer, the Eben Azel in Hechaz Mechira, says absolutely not. If you take a look at source Chav Dalet, he says, after a nice discussion, Hamura midvareinu, what emerges from our position is the kesef mechira vekesef kiddushin heim shnei inyanim. He says, sales and kiddushin are two different things. The kesef mechira u kesef shivoi. Yeah, in a sale, you give the value of something. The kesef kiddushin u kesef kinyan. What you're doing with kiddushin is a formal act of kinyan. Umasha kasav ha'avne miluim. The hadi alfinan kinyan, the isha mi kinyan, to stay Ephron. He says, and as far as telling me, well, wait a minute, you learned from the field of Ephron. Right? We didn't actually get to this yet, but we will. He says, lo kashimidi. He says, that's not an issue. What we learn from the field of Ephron is simply the Gzereshava, that money is used in an act of transaction. You're not extrapolating from the method of acquiring, you're not coming from the act of acquiring the field. You're just borrowing the fact that this is with kesef, that's with kesef. I have to be honest and tell you, I'm not so convinced by that read. The Avnei Miluim's read seems a lot more logical. Like, why would you tell me that I'm just borrowing, well, this is kesef and this is kesef, but not the way that the kesef is being employed? It seems like a very fine split that you're making there. The Avnei Miluim sounds a lot simpler. Nonetheless, that's the position of the Eben HaAzel, and he brings you a source in the Nimuke Yosef. In source, Chav, hey. Va'od yesh lahazbir, I added in the bracketed words. You could also explain that the basis for saying that the money involved in Kiddushin is not value. Lefima shakasav animuke Yosef ba'azov. Demad amar Rabbi Yochanan devar Torah konos, when Rabbi Yochanan says that biblically the cash works, that statement that we keep quoting from Rabbi Yochanan, Dehumi svara, debedinhu, sheyehe mos konos, kevin derova kinyanim bekesef. What he's saying is it makes sense. Logically, kinyanim in general are when you give something of value. Vizem estaber, dehumi shum shivo yamekach. It makes sense. Achein, mashakaza avne milum, digam kesef kidush, nu kesef shivo y vade lo mestaber. But that's not logical. The whole reason why money works with a regular transaction is because logically that's what you're doing. But that logic will not extend to Kiddushin, and therefore there's no reason for me to make that assumption. Jerry.
How does Kinyan Avdus equate here with the Kinyan of a woman?
What do you mean?
In a sense, she's giving her body, so to speak.
But she's not, because she retains control of it. She retains control of it. I mean, there may be a loss of a ksuba for a moredes, but at the end of the day, he can't make any demands.
So it's not a kinyan avdus.
No.
Okay. So if we don't have the right to learn stuff out from what a kinyan avdus is.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
But I would think that you could do some borrowings there, as you did here with the mechira type thing.
Understood. So what we've seen is that you have three aspects of Kiddushin, three methods, and in fact you can draw correspondence from the three methods, the Kesef Shtarbia, to the three aspects of the Kiddushin, the Kinyan, Isser to the world, and living a life of Ishus. And then in terms of Kiddushin Kesef, we have two positions in general on, first of all, we noted the link between Kinyan Karka and Kiddushin. We said that with Kinyan Karka, we have Machlokes Sman the Taz, as to whether you are paying value or whether you are actually performing a formal ritual act that leads to the transfer of the land. The same thing, the same question exists regarding Kiddushin, where we have on the one hand the Abnei Miluim who says you're giving something of value, basing himself on Rashi, Shittim Kubetzes, or the Eben Azel with his Nimuka Yosef, who says that no, it's a formal act. What I want to do next time is talk a little bit more about evidence for the Abnei Miluim on one side, evidence for the Eben Azel on the other side, and then move into a tangential point, maybe, we'll see, I might drop this in the interest of time, about Shvei Kesef and how Shvei Kesef works as well. And then I want to get into the question of Pruta, and what is a Pruta, and how we evaluate it, and that's an interesting question in its own right. Thank you very much, have a wonderful Shabbos, and Chag Urim Sameach.